Muy buenas tardes. Un saludo al misionero Miguel Bermúdez Marín allá.
Good afternoon. Greetings to missionary Miguel Bermúdez Marín there in Venezuela and to all the ministers, brothers and sisters who are gathered today, Friday, December 27 of this year 2024, where our subject is a minister approved by God, which was preached on March 13 of 2010 in Lima, Peru. He read to us the scripture of Luke chapter 12, verse 35 to 48, and it tells us the following. And let's read that first verse of chapter 12, the first verse that he read to us there, the 35th, the first verse of that portion that he read, which begins in verse 35, it says, the first verses, "Let your loins be girded about, and your light burning, and ye yourself like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them, a minister approved by God." You may please be seated. It tells us in the message, be it according to your faith, according to your faith, may it be done, which was preached on September 13 of 2015 in Veracruz, Mexico, by Dr. William Soto Santiago. It tells us, it is by faith that we obtain God's promises. Don't try to obtain God's promises by intellect, because you will be disappointed. Now, notice how the person cannot receive the revelation of what God brought in the sacred scriptures and brought in the messages of our brother Branham and our brother William, receive what is written by intellect. It must be by revelation from above, from heaven. Because otherwise, at the end, as he says there, you will be disappointed. He goes on to say, be certain that you believe it with all your heart, even if you don't understand it. The understanding comes later on, when what you believed with all your heart then goes on to your spirit, to then go on to the body and become materialized. And the person remains and waits like Abraham, who waited 25 years for the promise. In the message, God's only provided place of worship, it tells us on page 11, Reverend William Branham tells us, now, the word Deuteronomy, the word itself means two laws. The word Deuteronomy, and God has two laws, the two laws. One of them is disobedience to the word and die, and the other one is obedience to the word and live. Those are the two laws, and Deuteronomy means those two laws. And he writes there on the side, two laws equals life. Death. They have both been absolutely displayed to us in the scriptures. One of them is death. The other one is life. Life and death. God only deals in life. Satan only in death. Meaning, evil deals only in death. And this was displayed to the world publicly, openly before every eye, and there is no excuse for us. One of them was displayed on Mount Sinai when the law was given, which condemned the whole human race to death. The other one was given on Mount Calvary, that brought the whole human race to life when the penalty was paid in Jesus Christ. The two laws of Deuteronomy was fulfilled in these two great things. I want you to notice again, there was also two covenants given. One covenant was given to Adam, which was on conditions like law. If you will not touch this, then you will live. But if you touch this, you will die. That was a law. Then there was another law given to Abraham, which was by grace, unconditionally. I have saved you and your seed after you. Amen. That is a type of Calvary, not a type of Adam's covenant. It's an Abrahamic covenant. And there he writes to covenant. But now we hear him say there is only one place where he will meet man to worship. We read it right here in the text. We will refer to it back in a few minutes. Then, if there is only one place that God meets man, we had better be very careful. Now, let's lay aside our traditions this morning and in this Sunday school lesson and be very sure that we find that one place, because God has said here, He will not receive you in any other place, any other church. He won't receive you in only in His church. It's the only place He will receive you. And what church? The church, the mystical body of believers. And there he draws a cornerstone in the ages. And at this time, in the relevant age, in the age of the cornerstone. Now, what you say, Brother Branham? If I'm sincere? No. Remember, Jesus talked to some sincere people, the worshippers of his day, and he said, "In vain do you worship me." True, genuine worship from the bottom of their hearts. In vain do you worship me. Teaching for doctrine the commandments of man or their denominational creed, sincere, reverently, just as religious as they can be. And that was not new. Just with the Pharisees, Cain and Abel, the first two worshippers that was born, natural birth here on earth, absolutely came the same attitude. Cain was just as religious as Abel was. They both built altars. They both loved God. They both made sacrifices. They both worshipped. They both paid tithe. They both done everything just alike, but Abel, by faith, which is the revelation, the word of God revealed, made plain, showed out, and vindicated. Glory, Cain made an offering, but God did not vindicate it. And on vindicate, he underlines it and circles it. Notice, God did not vindicate it. God required worship, and Cain made the offering, but God did not vindicate it. But by the true channel, you say, well, my church is it. My, wait just a minute. There he writes on the left side, God vindicates his revealed word in whoever has it. God vindicates his revealed word in whoever has it. Wait just a minute. God interprets his own word by its terms that he's spoken. See, Cain said, I am religious, I am lover of my maker. I offer to thee this fine altar. I offer to you this sacrifice. I built all of these things. Lord, because I love you. Abel said the same thing. Now, it is the one that's vindicated, the one that's proven. Notice that in the end, the one that's vindicated, it's the one that's proven. And the final vindication at this time is in the fulfillment of the tenth vision. Once It is in that culminating time already that will be the final vindication that everything that God is carrying out is approved and will be approved by God through that vindication that He will show worldwide. And God came down and received Abel's sacrifice because by revelation he had struck the true channel of God that was accepted. Now watch that Cain spirit come right down through the scriptures. And he writes there, watch the Cain's spirit. On the front there in a writing, he writes, serpent's trail. And on the right he writes, intellectual. Now, watch that Cain's spirit come down through the scriptures right on to this very last day, and watch it right on to this very day in which we are living today. Fundamental, just as fundamental as the other one was. Look at the prophet Balaam and the prophet Moses, both of them with seven altars, Jehovah's altar, blood on each one. And not only that, but rams on each one, in numerology, exactly the right number, seven, perfect, seven rams, just exactly alike, both altars, as fundamental as one was. The other one was also, but who did God vindicate? See? The one that was in His Word. Fundamental doesn't mean too much. It's the revelation of God. And there he writes on the left, God vindicates the one who is in the Word. Now, think, these men, why was they called and was put in this condition, these Pharisees, by Jesus, said, in vain you worship me. Worship Him, genuine worship, true worship from their heart. You, in vain, you worship Me. Why? Teaching for doctrine, their traditions of men. Therefore, you make the commandments of God of no effect to the people. If I taught you a Methodist message, it would take no effect on you. This is the bright time. If Moses taught the message of Noah, it would take no effect. If Jesus taught Moses' message, it would take no effect. Because the predestined seed are laying there that will only be watered by that type of water that's give to that for that seed. See? It won't grow any other condition. It must be the condition that grows it. And he writes there, the condition. Now, you can take a chicken egg and put it in an incubator, which should be under a hen, but it'll hatch anyhow. Put it under a pup, and it would hatch. It's the warmness, the condition that makes it hatch. So it has to be under condition. You could take a good live egg and put it under a dead hen. It will not hatch. See? It's the condition. Well, that's the way in this age that we're living in. You've got to find what is God's way. And he writes condition of doing it for this age. That's what Martin Luther found. That's what John Wesley found. That's what the Pentecostals found in their age, God's age, and time to do it. And he writes there, the age and time. In the book of the ages, it also tells us something there on page 101 from the book in English regarding what we are reading here. Look, it tells us, at the bottom of the 101 from the edited book of the ages, Satan has known this all along. He also wants to indwell man, even as God does. But God has reserved to himself that right. Satan cannot do that. God alone appeared in human flesh. Satan cannot and cannot do that. He does not have creative power. The only way for Satan to accomplish what he wanted to do was to enter the serpent in Eden, even as he entered by evil spirit into the swine at Gadara. God does not enter animals, but Satan can and will to accomplish his ends. Now notice that the place in which the devil entered There in the Garden of Eden, that place where there was, or that had the place for the soul, that is where the devil entered. But notice that there the free will did not enter, only evil entered there. Therefore, that race could not have a choice. But notice that Adam and Eve did. They could choose, but that serpent race did not have that opportunity to choose. And because it couldn't choose, then the devil used that place to dwell in all his fullness to do evil, which, notice that at the end time, the beast will be incarnated in the man of sin, in that place where free will does not exist, because that serpent's race, that serpent's trail will lead to the man of sin, the beast. On page 154 from the Book of the Seals in English, notice, and when this Holy Spirit that we have becomes incarnate to us, the one that is in our midst now in the form of the Holy Ghost becomes incarnate to us in the person of Jesus Christ, we will crown him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Notice that that was what he had promised, and it is what he has carried out at this end time, where by the elect of God recognizing him, receiving him, they crown him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But on the other side, the Spirit of the Antichrist, on page 168 from the Book of the Seals in English, it says, and at the same time that this devil falls out of heaven and becomes incarnate in a man, there we see that Spirit of the devil incarnate in a man. The Holy Spirit goes up and comes down incarnate in a man. Now, that man of sin brings death, just as death was brought there in Eden. The manifestation of the devil in the serpent produced death. And that is what the incarnation of the devil would produce at this end time. It will produce death. He will have no choice. Now, notice that by the Holy Spirit incarnating himself in that man, as he was incarnated in Jesus in all his fullness, the Word was there, the Word incarnate, and he had free will. Even God has free will. Now, notice, Jesus could refuse. He could refuse and not give his life. But he said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. In other words, it was up to Jesus to carry out that work or not carry it out, just as that free will is in the two olive trees. See that important picture there? How that in the serpent, it didn't have that choice to choose. Full and total evil was in the serpent, and that offspring, in the end, notice, comes back and becomes incarnate in the man of sin, and that serpent's trail come throughout the whole Bible, and at this end time, he is openly identified already, and his subjects, his followers are also identified. There, anyone could say, Judas was the guilty one, the one who delivered Jesus. But look, Judas was a disciple of Jesus. But notice, he needed help, and he went to get it. He arrived with a bunch of people, soldiers, and a lot of people led, commanded by Judas, which represents the Judases of this time, which are represented in ministers and in people as well. Because notice, it is the same spirit. It can be led by a minister, or by one, or two, or three, or four, or five, or by six. But there are many more Judases behind them. Even if they are not ministers, they do not have to be ministers to carry out that work relevant to that evil spirit. Which, back then, not everyone had to be disciples of Jesus in order to carry out the work of the devil in Judas Iscariot, as simple as that. And in this end time, he said that there were going to be Judases as well, which would betray the word, and they can be ministers leading, and also people who don't have to be ministers. Now, look, here, it continues saying, on page 102, where we are reading, it says, the only way for Satan to accomplish what he wanted to do was to enter in the serpent in Eden, even as he entered by the evil spirits into the swine at Gadara. God does not enter animals, but Satan can and will to accomplish his ends. He could not have a child directly by Eve as God did by Mary. So he entered into the serpent and then beguiled Eve. He seduced her, and by her did Satan have a child vicariously. Cain bore the full spiritual characteristics of Satan and the animalistic, sensual, fleshy characteristics of the serpent. Notice, because evil was fully in the serpent. No wonder the Holy Spirit said that Cain was of the wicked one. And he writes on the left, Cain, son of the serpent, obtained an animal body, a spirit of the devil of the fifth dimension. Cain, son of the serpent, obtained animal body, a spirit of the devil of the fifth dimension. No wonder the Holy Spirit said that Cain was of that wicked one. He was. Now, I want to go into some certain proof we have that there is a definite affinity between man and animal. It is a physical thing. Do you know that you can take the embryo cells from an unborn fetus and inject them into human beings? Then, those thyroid cells will go right to the human thyroid. The kidney cells will go right to the human kidneys. Do you realize how stupendous this is? Some intelligence guides those animal cells exactly to the right place. That intelligence accepts those cells and put them in exactly the right place. There is an affinity between animal and man. They cannot intermingle and reproduce. That has been tried. But back in the garden, that intermingling did take place, and the chemical affinity which still exists proves it. For back in Eden, the serpent, and he writes serpent on the left, was an upright creature. He was close to man. He was almost man. Satan took advantage of the serpent's physical characteristics to use him to beguile Eve. Then God destroyed that pattern of the serpent. No other beast can commingle with man, but the affinity is there. Now, that race of the serpent will be restored. Now that we have come this far, let me try to crystallize your thinking on this subject so you can see the necessity of our going into the serpent seed doctrine as I have. We start with the fact that there were two trees in the midst of the garden. The tree of life was Jesus, and he writes on the left, the tree of life, Jesus. The other tree is definitely Satan because of what came forth of the fruit of that tree. Now then, we know that both of those trees had a relationship to man, or they would never have been placed there. They must have had a part in the sovereign plan and purpose of God in their relationship to mankind and to Himself, or we could never impute omniscience unto God. This is all true so far, is it not? Now the Word must definitely set forth that from before the foundation of the earth, the purpose of God was to share His eternal life with man. Now, look, in this message, this other message, the minister approved by God, which he titled just like the subject that we have for today on this occasion, but this one was preached on October 12th of 2004 in Manaus, Brazil, and he tells us there, now remember, there will be a judgment for the messengers of each time. And therefore, the ministers will also face a time in which they will surely be judged before the transformation, before the resurrection. In other words, don't think that they are waiting for our brother Branham or our brother William to come to make known the rapturing faith and all of that and then be transformed. Before the resurrection, God is fulfilling His word. He is bringing the rapturing faith, but He is also having that separation, that segregation. Now, what will it be like for God, or how is it for God, or what does it mean for God to be judged, and how are they judged? There are some conditions. Now, notice, he says, Reverend William Branham said that he was told in paradise that the messengers would be judged there in paradise, and if they were approved, that is, if they came out of that judgment well, they would return to the earth with their group. They would be resurrected in glorified bodies. Remember that the messenger is the leader of the Holy Spirit of each age. That is why it was said to Reverend William Branham in paradise, if you are approved, if you go in once you are judged, if you go in, we will also go in with you. We will return to earth and we will be your subjects. Now look, that is what it says on page, let me see here, where it speaks to us about, this, which Brother Branham is telling us here, where he says on page 214 from the Book of the Ages without the edited one, the Book of the Ages, the edited one, on page 214 from the book in English, and I will give him the morning star according to Revelation 22:16 and 2 Peter 1:19. Jesus is the morning star. I am the root and offspring of David and the bright and morning star until the day dawn. And he writes, seventh millennium, and the day star arise in your hearts. The Spirit is, therefore, making a promise to the elect of the dark ages relative to Himself and then in the ages to come. As we have already stated, Jesus identifies Himself with the messenger of each age. They receive from Him the revelation of the Word for each period. The Word revelation brings the elect of God out of the world and into full union with Jesus Christ. These messengers are called stars because they shine with the borrowed or reflected light of the sun, even Jesus. They are also called stars because they are holders of light at night. Thus, in the darkness of sin, they bring the light of God to His people. Now, notice that these messengers, here it tells us that Brother Branham was told that he would be judged. Let me see here where we stopped. It says, Remember that the messenger is the leader of the Holy Spirit for each age. That is why it was said to Reverend William Branham in paradise, if you're approved, if you go in once, you're judged. If you go in, we will also go in with you. We will return to the earth and we will be your subjects. The messenger will be like the king of the group for his age, but above all the kings, the messengers of Christ of his age, we have Jesus Christ, who is the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the king of all those kings. He is the king over all those kings. The apostles will also be placed over 12 thrones, and they will judge the 12 tribes of Israel. That is also how it will be for the messengers of each age, with the Gentile people, with the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and with all the Gentiles in the millennial kingdom. Therefore, we want to be prepared and be approved by Christ, and then, in the millennial kingdom, we will have an important position, and there we will continue working in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who are not approved, well, they won't have a beautiful work and a beautiful position in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Brother Branham spoke to us about this there in the Book of the Ages, in the Book of the Seals as well, around the page 319 and on. And here in the ages, he also narrates to us that occasion in which he went to paradise, to the sixth dimension. He says, page 209 from the book in English, each message to each age holds out an incentive to the believer, encouraging him to be an overcomer and thereby be rewarded by the Lord. And there he draws a Star of David on the right. In this age, the Spirit is promising the hidden manna and a new name written in a white stone. Now, since each of these messages is directly to the angel, human messenger, a very great responsibility as well as a wonderful privilege is his lot. To this man, God makes special promises, as in the case of the 12 apostles, sitting on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And on the top he writes, the 12 thrones and the 12 apostles. And there above the paragraph where we started reading each message to each age, above that he writes, 12 thrones and the 12 apostles. Then, remember, Paul was given a special promise, that of presenting the people of the bride in his day to Jesus. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Corinthians 11:2. So it will be with every messenger who has been faithful to the word of his hour in his age. And there on the right he draws a cornerstone in the ages, and only the seventh age, because he goes on to say it will be so in the last day, meaning the seventh age there. It will be the same special reward that was given to Paul. That is, the last age, the seventh age, and also the last one, which is the age of the cornerstone during the dispensation of grace, there in Brother Branham's time and the breach. Now notice that below, he writes below that, the seven angels will be seven great kings who will crown the Messiah, and who will administer in the kingdom of Christ with him, for they ministered in their age and were faithful and wise. And on the right, he also writes there, last day. I think most of you remember how I said I had always been afraid to die, lest I should meet the Lord and he should not be pleased with me. And there he draws a Star of David on the left. As I had failed him so many times, well, I had been thinking of that one morning. And he writes there on the left as well, there below the Star of David, morning, as I laid in bed and suddenly I was caught up in the most peculiar vision. I say it was peculiar, for I have thousands of visions and not one Not once did I seem to leave my body, but there I was cut up, and I looked back to see my wife, and I saw my body lying there beside her. Then I found myself in the most beautiful place I have ever seen. It was a paradise. I saw throngs of the most beautiful and happiest people I have ever seen. They all looked young, about 18 to 21 years of age. And there on the right, he writes 18-21 years of age, sixth dimension. There was not a gray hair or a wrinkle or any deformity amongst them. In other words, there wasn't anyone with dystrophy or missing an arm or having any problem in their body. The young women all had hair down to their waist, and the young men were so handsome and strong. Oh, how they welcomed me. They hugged me and called me their darling brother and kept telling me how glad they were to see me. As I wondered who all those folks were, one beside me said, "They are your people." I was so astonished, I asked, "Are all these Branham?" He said, "No, they are your converts." He then pointed to one lady and said, "Do you see that young lady that you were admiring a moment ago? She was 90 years old when you won her to the Lord." I said, "Oh my, and to think this was what I was afraid of." The man said, "We are resting here while waiting for the coming of the Lord." And he writes on the left, "The coming of the Lord to paradise, the sixth dimension." I replied, "I want to see him." He said, "You cannot see him just yet, but he is coming soon. And when he does, he will come to you first, and you will be judged according to the gospel that you have preached, and we will be your subjects." And to the left, he writes, "He'll come to the forerunner." And to the right, he writes, "Judgment to judge." And he also writes, "Subjects, his people, his nation." I said, "Do you mean I am responsible for all this?" He said, "Everyone, you were born a leader." And he writes there, "Leader, king." I asked him, "Will everyone be responsible? What about St. Paul?" And he answered me, "He will be responsible for his day." And he draws on the left, he draws a cornerstone and the ages and all the ages outlined. And he writes Revelation 4 verse 5, 5 verse 6, 1 verse 4, 11 from 3 to 14, 7 from 1 to 17, 14 verse 1, 12 from 1 to 17, and 15 from 1 to 5. Well, I said, "I've preached the same gospel that Paul preached," and the multitude cried, "We are resting on that." Yes, I can see that God is going to give a special reward to his messenger who have faithfully discharged the responsibility he has placed upon them. If they have received the revelation of the word for that age and faithfully preached in their day and lived what they preached, they will receive a great reward. Now, our brother William continues to say, a little further on this message, "It has been a great privilege for me to be with you on this occasion, testifying to you about the minister approved by God, the minister who lives for Christ and the sheep of Christ, the minister who doesn't try to make physical gains for himself, but rather tries to obtain the most of the work of Jesus Christ, our Savior. A person who tries to gain for his own benefit, and that is his goal, is not storing up treasures in heaven. He wants to make his treasure on earth. Therefore, he has nothing to do in heaven. Therefore, he won't go to the heaven. He won't go to the marriage supper of the Lamb, because he has been storing up his treasure on earth, and he has been taken out of the kingdom of God to store up treasures here on earth, instead of taking from the things of earth and storing them in the kingdom of Christ. Christ, to have them in the kingdom of Christ for all eternity, with the things of this earth that God provides to us. We store up treasures in heaven, but we cannot take the things from heaven to the things of God to store treasures on earth, because then we will have nothing there in heaven. Therefore, Christ will say, where your heart is, there is your treasure. Therefore, your heart is on earth. Stay there with your treasure, because I am going to take this sheep that have stored up treasures in heaven. Therefore, they have their share in heaven. They are going to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And it would be very sad for a pastor to wake up and, let's say, around noon or evening or later at night, for him to be in the meeting and say, why the brethren are not coming? And the next day, the same thing happens, and a week goes by and no one comes. And he says, could it be that they left and I stayed behind? Could it be that I was not approved by God? That I was not sincere, I did not work correctly, I did not give them all the food, but they got it somehow. Now notice that many, perhaps, think that those whom they have there in that congregation, if they are being deceived by those leaders, don't think that everyone that is there following them, maybe out of convenience, they are more comfortable and closer to be able to go someplace and gather there on Sundays, but in their houses or someplace else, they are receiving what that elect needs, which is the rapture in faith, which is the teaching under the tent, which he said in many messages and on many occasions that he said, connect with the tent, with the great tent cathedral, have the broadcastings, and share with them and be connected from the devotional services, that is, share. I am referring to join in the devotional from Puerto Rico. In other words, he even left that said the way it should be done. Now, look on page 88 from the Book of the Ages. He tells us there, now, did you get it now? There are those twins again, the ages, the 88 at one, 88 at the bottom. There are those twins again. There are those two trees again growing side by side. And he writes, twins on the right, growing side by side on the same earth. And he writes on the left, two trees, Hebrews 6, 7 to 8. There are those two trees again growing side by side in the same earth, partaking of the same nourishment, drinking the same rain, and benefiting by the same sun. But they come from different seeds. One tree is for the word of God, exactly as God gave it, and loves and obeys it. The other tree is from the seed that is anti the word of God, and changes it where it wants to. It substitutes its own creeds and dogmas for the living true word, exactly as did Cain, who ended up killing Abel. But fear not, little flock. Stay with the word. Keep that word between you and the devil. Keep that word between you and the devil. Eve did not do that, and she failed. And when the church lets down on the word, she goes into the depths of the darkness of Satan, and has borne, and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored, and has not fainted. This is just about the same as was said in verse 2, but in verse 2, the work, labor, and patience were from guarding the sacred word which was committed unto them. How they kept away the adversaries. What a credit they were to Paul. But in this verse, their persecutions and trials and patience are over the blessed name of Jesus. Now, our brother William continues to say, therefore, we have to work in the work of Christ with fear and trembling as workers who are faithful to Christ, as workers who are going to be approved by Christ, by God. That is the goal, be a worker, a minister approved by God. Before being approved, you must have worked. God will never approve you without you first working. God doesn't give rewards without the person working first. On page 118 from the Book of the Ages in English, the edited one, Reverend William Branham tells us there, the cloudy skies and storms of life are no signs of God's disapproval, neither the bright skies and still waters signs of His love and approval. His approval of any of us is only in the Beloved. His love is selective, which He had for us before the foundation of the world. Does He love us? Ah, yes. But how shall we know? We shall know because He said so and manifested that He did loves us, for He brought us to Himself and gave us of His Spirit, placing us as sons. And how shall I prove my love to Him? By believing what He said, and by conducting myself with joy amidst the trials that He in His wisdom allows to come to pass. Now, look, in a writing, our brother William writes there in the notebook, he writes, I must be about my Father's businesses. He writes in red, fulfill the word. Jesus, after being about and doing the businesses of the Father, in other words, fulfilling what the Messiah had to do, preaching the gospel, making known the first coming of the Son of Man and Son of God, and in between the lines, he writes, and living correctly according to the word, and healing the sick, casting out devils, etc. Thus, he was approved by God, and on Mount Transfiguration, he was adopted. And he writes there at the bottom, to then do a greater work on Calvary's cross. What was he adopted for on Mount Transfiguration? To carry out the work of redemption on Calvary's cross. And the writing continues, by the Father and His name, Jesus equals Savior, is the name for redemption, for salvation in the dispensation of grace. And our brother William continues to say, therefore, we must be ministers who are faithful to Christ, who properly follow the word of God, and who get it to the sheep that Christ, the chief shepherd, has placed in our congregations. Also in the message, the law of repetition, our brother William tells us there, which was preached on December 24th, 2010, here in Calle, Puerto Rico, he tells us, and now we have a promise that there will be a great 10th cathedral. It will be fulfilled. The Spirit of God will awaken the spirit of the people, of the ministers, who will be united with the Holy Spirit, who will be in the instrument that He has at the last day. Because, as we read there on page 134 from the Book of the Seals, when this Holy Spirit that we have becomes incarnate, and the Holy Spirit has already become incarnate, and that is why there are ministers and people who have been working and continue working and will continue working hand in hand with the Holy Spirit incarnate in this end time, and they have carried out this glorious work of having a place, a great tent cathedral, for God, the Creator of heavens and earth, where He is showing Himself, revealing Himself, making known the mystery of the seventh seal, making known the mystery of the second coming of the Lord, making known the mystery of the angel who was different from the rest. And alongside that ministry, there will be many workers, many ministers with their congregations working for the fulfillment of that vision, just as people worked for the fulfillment of the vision that Moses had on Mount Sinai of the tabernacle. Many people were working for it, although there may have been some who criticized Moses, because there are always critics in every age and in every dispensation, mockers, people who criticize and other things, but nevertheless, God always fulfills His program. On page 5a from paragraph 49, it tells us from the book of quotations, and that's why these things are doing. The Holy Spirit comes into the earth in the great fullness of its being. There is, on the right, a cornerstone is drawn. He comes to earth, where? In the age of the cornerstone, in the fullness of His being, when this Holy Spirit becomes incarnate in the person of Jesus Christ, notice, and that pertains to this end time. He made that promise, and He is faithful to fulfill, which He has fulfilled. The Holy Spirit come into the earth in the great fullness of its being, to gather up the children from the four corners of the earth to get ready for the rapture. And he writes below, Matthew 24:30-31, Moses and Elijah. And to the left he writes, rapture, there at the top. And above he also writes, the Holy Spirit with the ministry of Moses and Elijah, Revelation 19:11-21, and 7:2. Because Revelation 11, Revelation 19, and Revelation 7, notice, is the coming of the Lord, because the coming of the Lord is the seventh seal to the church, and Moses and Elijah, the angel who comes with the seal of the living God, the ministry of Moses and Elijah, which is the seventh trumpet, is for Israel. And he, in a Bible study, in this excerpt that they put for him, in a Bible study, he writes to the side, the tenth cathedral, because that is where he promised that the Holy Spirit would be revealing himself, making known the mystery of the second coming of the Lord, like Jesus in his ministry was. He came bringing the revelation of the first coming of the Lord. As he left us written there in the notebook, it says, preaching the gospel, making known the first coming of the Son of Man and Son of God. Notice, because at the end time, he said that the Messiah would present himself. Now, our brother William continues to say here in this message, in this subject, the law of repetition, further on this same message, remember that things begin little by little. We don't know how it begin after it is dedicated to God, that is, the tent. But we do know one thing, that in the fulfillment of the tent vision that Reverend William Branham saw was the pillar of fire that appeared to Moses. The angel of the covenant was there. The angel that appeared to Reverend William Branham was there. And a ministry that was manifested was there. And where one could see many things were happening. Notice, what was there? A ministry. And if there is a ministry, then there has to be a veil of flesh there. It was the Holy Spirit using a person there. Now, what are they going to say about all of that? No, it's because when he returns, that is the person that he will use. God doesn't work unless it is through a veil of flesh. When a person stays end, or when a prophet of God ends their days on earth, and God takes him, that is as far as the work of that prophet messenger went, and God rises up another prophet. And at this end time, God promised that there would be a ministry in a great tent cathedral, and he says that that is the ministry of the second coming of the Lord. It was the Holy Spirit using a person there, because God's partner is always a human being. A man in the ministry has always been God's partner, God's instrument, because God doesn't work unless it is through a human being. Amos 3:7, surely the Lord would do nothing without first revealing His secrets to His servants, His prophets, a minister approved by God. Let's stand up and thus leave in this subject a ministry approved by God to our dear brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.